Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 147. It's Thursday night, so we're here to preview the week 15 fab ahead. It starts on July 1st, folks, already into July, so that's a fun one to think about there. We'll talk some recent news and maybe debate a few things. We'll see. But you can find me on Twitter at BDIntric, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ. Ryan Bloomfield, how are we doing, my friend?
Yeah, we're doing good. Let's see if we devolve into debating golf handicaps tonight or not. I think we've probably had that debate at First Pitch Arizona a couple times.
Yeah,
last couple of years, but we'll try and avoid that one tonight. Doing good, man. I didn't realize I was kind of a slow day at work this afternoon, so I watched Twins Diamondbacks to get a look at Mr. Festa, who we'll talk about pretty soon. Clipped a couple of videos that took off on Twitter, and didn't realize the amount of hatred that's out there for both Jordan Montgomery and Carlos Correa. Both videos were over those guys. Still a lot of folks not liking Correa over the Houston days, and Montgomery. I don't think anyone likes Jordan Montgomery right now, especially in Arizona, given the way he has pitched. So I don't know. Been a busy afternoon, but ready to talk fab with you. Mascot homered tonight.
Yes, mascot homered, which is nice. His fifth of the year. So we're moving in the right direction in that one. You might get to 10 and 20 steals and hit very well. So pretty good stuff there.
Listened to you earlier on the, and Michael C in the chat just brought it up. Nice job this morning on the, Thursday morning on the RotoWire podcast. Very nice of Jeff Erickson to have you on. Friend of the show. So thanks, Jeff.
Yep, that was awesome. Jeff extended the olive branch for the yearly tradition, unlike any other. So that was a blast to do. And Michael, thanks for checking back in. As always, it's been a fun day talking all things fantasy baseball and way too much Giants. It's always a depressing topic these days. So yeah, it was good. But let's talk some news. We got not nearly as much as we had on Tuesday, which is good because we have a lot of fab to talk about as usual. But we'll start with a couple call-ups over the last couple of days, and one's a big one. David Festa of the Minnesota Twins, stud prospect pitcher, top 100 prospect pitcher for the Minnesota Twins. He got the call to take Chris Paddock's spot in the rotation, and like the next pitcher we're going to talk about, he started out really, really strong, it felt like, and then kind of fizzled off the second and third time through the orders. Five innings, five earned runs, two Ks. A lot of that damage came four runs in the fourth, one in the fifth, so three clean innings before that. But more importantly, he got through it, got the dub in his debut because the Twins went to town on Montgomery, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
So yeah. What are your thoughts on Festa? Because he'll probably get one, maybe two more starts if he sticks in the rotation for Paddock, maybe longer if he continues to pitch well.
Yeah, if he continues to pitch well, we'll see about continues. He looked okay today. I mean, I don't know. First start jitters and everything certainly applies. There were a few pitches from Festa where I was like, yeah, I can see why the strikeout rate is what it is in AAA and why it's so good. Only had, I think, two Ks in his debut today with looks like six whiffs on 78 pitches. So the results weren't really there for Festa, even though he did pitch better than Jordan Montgomery, which isn't saying much. Curious to see what Festa will go like in fab. Today's start was obviously a big kind of pointer in that direction. I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and pretend to know what Festa is going to do. Prospect pedigree's there. I think pitched like 90 or so innings last year and is approaching that total already this season. So I'm not breaking the bank on Festa just from what I saw today, but given that we all need starting pitching help, especially in 15 teamers, he'll be modest bids for me, which probably won't land him, but we'll see.
Yeah. He gets Detroit next week, so that'll be fun to see where that one goes. So it'll probably get people excited in that regard, but I'm with you. I don't think I'll be breaking banks for this one, but we shall see because everybody needs pitching, as you mentioned. Hayden Birdsong of the San Francisco Giants, one of their top pitching prospects, made his debut on Wednesday evening against the Chicago Cubs, 4 2/3, three earned, three walks, five Ks. He started out really strong too, gave up a few late in that start. I watched most of that. I really liked what I saw overall. He was very good in the minors. Only made two AAA starts. Most of the work was in AA, but big strikeout stuff. He's still young, so it's kind of those, like you mentioned with Festa, how long-term is this going to be? Is it going to be consistent? But and he's scheduled to face Cleveland next week, which is Ouch. No walk in the park by any means. So no. It'll temper my expectations for Birdsong, but still, it was a nice thing to see because the Giants need pitching at least till the All-Star break.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, I saw screenshots going around with the Giants that they were down to basically two starters in their rotation earlier this week. So, like, if we're debating to go to our debate theme for the evening, if we're debating Hayden Birdsong versus Festa, I would think Birdsong has longer leash depending on like when Snell and Robbie Ray, et cetera, come back compared to Festa. The HQ scouting report on Birdsong is pretty. Pretty high in the long term, but short term we're a little skeptical given lack of a third pitch. And you kind of alluded to this, Bubba, with Birdsong, just not much like AAA or high minors experience. So we'll see about the instant transition. But certainly, I think for Birdsong, the next few starts in the rotation seem to be there.
Yeah, the injuries forced the Giants' hand to get him up this early. I think the goal would maybe have been a September or even next year situation, right. But he came through here quickly. Robbie Ray is going to have another rehab start pretty soon. They're expecting him back after the All-Star break. Alex Cobb and Kyle Harrison are throwing bullpens this weekend, so reserves are hopefully coming, but still they're going to need Birdsong for a little bit there.
I forgot about Alex Cobb.
Yes, yeah, we rightfully so. He was so close, it seemed like, at one time, and then just everything fell apart for Alex Cobb. We got one I just want to mention real quick. Davis Daniel of the Angels came up and made his first start of the season. He's pitched in 2023. He made his debut in 2023, but he came in through 8 shutout innings with 8 Ks and no walks versus the Tigers on Thursday night. Now I'm looking at the roster grid at RotoWire, and it's not set in stone. None of the starters are set in stone, but he's not scheduled to pitch next week, but I'm just going to mention it because it's something to pay attention to if for some reason he sticks, because he could get Oakland early in the week. Like that could be a pretty nice landing spot if Davis Daniel sticks around.
I'd take probably Daniel versus Oakland over Birdsong versus
Cleveland
sure. If we're talking streaming. Great numbers from Davis Daniel in his start tonight. What's his AAA at? Only 76 innings of a 5.33 ERA in AAA. Good number of Ks though, 25% yep. strikeout rate. So. Davis Daniel, despite having a last name as a first name and a first name as a last name, is interesting. Podcaster's nightmare.
Yes, definitely a nightmare. Trust me. Some other news here. Carlos Correa left Thursday's game, as everyone knows that follows Ryan Bloomfield. And people that didn't now know that Ryan Bloomfield told you that Carlos Correa got hurt, got hit on the wrist, looked nasty, left the game. X-rays were negative, but Ryan, we know how this goes. I still want to see some more testing before. Like he'll say, Correa says he's going to be in the lineup on Friday. I'll believe it when I see it.
It was bizarre, dude. That's why I clipped the video. It's just like instantly when Correa got hit, and anyone who sees the tweet can see the video, just like reacted like his arm was broken and just immediately walked into the dugout. Like did not even give a thought to go into first base. It looked horrible. But again, the x-ray was negative, which I don't know injuries. I'm not a doctor, but like an x-ray, I mean, it's a bone. It's like it's either. Yeah. Broken or not, an x-ray is going to find that. So I'm not too concerned about Correa. He's actually been, it's weird to say, hitting quite well, having a pretty good year. So,
yep, he's playing really well. I still want to see the MRI because we've seen this with the x-rays coming back negative and then the swelling goes down and oops, there is something else out there. So
sure,
definitely.
Just saw that with, who was it who had the broken?
Well, CES had his.
CES. Hunter Renfro is the one I was thinking
Renfro.
Of.
And that
they said backwards. It was broken, but then it wasn't.
Yep.
So,
and I think TJ Friedl had one where it was fine and then it was worse than it originally was. It's happened a few times this year. So yeah. I want to see some more work on that one. Let's put it that way. All right. Spencer Turnbull. Everyone was excited for him to rejoin the rotation. While Taiwan Walker is on the IL. He lasted 3 innings on Wednesday, left with shoulder soreness. Now he's out 6 to 8 weeks with a lat injury, which is around the shoulder, of course. It's getting people excited, though, because one, Michael Mercado is expected to join the rotation for the Philadelphia Phillies. He's pitched 1 inning of relief for the Phillies so far, but in the minors, he's been a pretty much a starter for his last 10 starts or so. He's looked pretty good, and he's scheduled, we'll see if this sticks, at Chicago and then at Atlanta next week.
That's not great. Chicago?
Is it
Chicago? The Cubs?
Cubs.
Yeah, I guess NL.
The Braves just got shut out by the White Sox bullpen.
The Braves did get shut out on a White Sox bullpen day today, which is absolutely bonkers. Michael Mercado, the HQ, and again, I will always go to bat for HQ here. Anytime where there is a new call-up, they get a full scouting report and prospect rating. So anyone who's a Baseball HQ subscriber, check out the daily call-ups as I shill for my employer. But HQ, our scouting team was pretty tepid on Michael Mercado, giving him a pretty tepid rating and kind of just calling him like a back end starter, even at peak. So I'm not, despite the 171 ERA, which everyone will probably look at AAA for Mercado, I am holding my breath here and not going too much into Mercado. I'm not expecting too much.
Yeah, I'm with you too. It's kind of a short term thing because Walker was only supposed to miss 2 to 4 weeks. We'll see, but it wasn't a long term thing.
And Walker has, for whatever reason, ungodly amounts of job security. Philly's rotation, given that he booted Spencer Turnbull. The Spencer Turnbull thing was, I think, just like a terrible, terrible beat. I thought that was a pretty good process to add Turnbull, who pitched well in the Phillies rotation while Walker was hurt. And yeah, it just sucks for him. He's had a lot of injuries in his career.
A lot of injuries. So we'll see how this one bounces back this time, if he does bounce back this time. Noelvi Marte of the Cincinnati Reds, we've been talking about stashing him for a while, Ryan. Well, he was activated on Thursday, got an RBI double in the game, which, as Jeff Erickson tweeted out and brought to my attention on the show today, that's as many extra base hits as he had in his whole time at AAA this year. So good to see from Noelvi.
Good to see from Noelvi. Stole a base too, I believe, nice. which is even better in our fantasy game. This is one where these next, whatever, 3-4 games for Noelvi Marte is going to absolutely dictate the fab price. If he hits a homer, steals another bag or two over the weekend or whatever, I think we're going to see some absolutely bonkers fab bidding on Noelvi Marte. Even though, like you said, Bubba, the rehab, or not even, I guess, rehab, the minor league rehab, I guess I'll call it for
now.
Yeah,
that's what they're calling it, weirdly enough, yeah.
It was bad. It was really bad. But I don't know. Maybe it all of a sudden turns around in the big leagues. It's kind of weird for that to happen. But as we all know, like, corner infield has been kind of a disaster to fill. And Marte does have, I mean, this is a guy with a super high ceiling. And it doesn't seem like there are that many kind of impact guys coming. So if you've got fab money lying around and you want to kind of shoot the moon and bet on a ceiling, I don't think there's anyone better than Noelvi Marte to do that with, even though I will admit the floor with Marte is also extremely low too. So
we'll 100%. See, Michael in the chat says Ellie and Noelvi is the tooliest left infield for sure. Yep.
It'll be fun to watch.
Most definitely. Last bit of news we have here, Javier Assad, or as Ryan likes to say, the facade, heads to the IL with a right forearm extensor strain. Apparently he's been dealing with this for some time, and a break is what the Cubs think he'll need to get right again. Hayden Wesneski is going to step into the rotation, which we've kind of been waiting for a little while, kind of, but he'll be taking the bump to start next week for the Cubbies.
I always kind of like Wesneski. The problem, at least this year, has been length and roll and all that sort of stuff. Like, Wesneski was, I guess, battling with Ben Brown earlier for a rotation spot and then pitching in long relief, believe a little bit. Yeah, 10 innings in the minors this year for Wesneski. 360 ERA, 464 FIP, so, you know, not the best skills. But 15% strikeout minus walk, I think, you know, assuming Wesneski sticks for a little while, and it sounds like he will with the facade out, we're kind of gambling on length. The question is going to be how long will he go five for the Cubs? And really, with the Cubs bullpen, you kind of need to go six or seven to even have a shot at a win, given how awful that bullpen situation is this year. So it's interesting. Like, how would you rank, like, Wesneski in terms of fab? How would you rank Wesneski versus the, like, three prospects that we've talked about so far? Mercado, Birdsong, and Festa.
I'd probably still have Davis ahead of them, out of all of them.
Or the last name, first name, Davis, yeah. Daniel.
I think the double named, aforementioned double named, I think if I have him first, I would lean Wesneski 2, long-term Birdsong 3, but I don't like his Cleveland start, then Festa, then Mercado.
Okay, that sounds about right.
I know a lot of people want Festa. And then Uncle Ted's got one here. I was going to save it for Fab.
Uncle Ted's always got one. But yeah, let's do
this. This one's good. Josh Winkowski is going to be starting on Sunday. So I'll have to kind of, because they pushed Brian Baio back to Wednesday to give him more time to work on his issues. I wrote up Winkowski when he first got called up because I remember he spot started a lot last year. He's shown some moments to be pretty good in that role. See how he does on Sunday because he can be a fun one. I don't know if he's going to stick in the rotation, but he's supposed to pitch Sunday. Then it's at the Yankees next week, so whatever. Following week, the Royals could be a little more interesting, but he'd be another – like we're looking for guys to stream these days. I wouldn't stream him next week, but definitely a name to keep in mind for the future. So I'll give Uncle Ted a hat tip on that one.
Already kind of looking like a pretty juicy Fab weekend.
Good. We needed one of those. It's been a while.
I know. With Marte and then with this kind of like just volume of pitching, new names entering the pitcher sphere, it's going to be fascinating to see which ones actually work out and which don't. But there's going to be some I think, tough calls in Fab is this weekend.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting because, yeah, like tough calls because how long are these guys up? Are they really that right. good? They're young. Like there's a million questions to it. So, and that'll be the beautiful thing on my Monday show because the OCs on these guys' prices are going to be
all over the board. Dude,
it's going to be amazing to witness how this one takes place. And my like $6 bids, hoping one of them falls to me type situation will probably win one out of three leagues. So
it'll be fun in leagues where you can stash, you've also got, maybe we're jumping ahead a little bit to like the CBS part, but like in leagues where you can pick up and stash, you've got Robbie Ray, Shane Boz is
looking real good.
Is looking good in AAA. So you have, you know, you weigh some of these debut guys versus like a Wesneski, who I like the skills and think there's some safety there, versus some of these guys coming off injury. Maybe they all blow up, but I'm willing to bet two or three kind of turn out to be quite productive over the last 3 months.
Yep, I'm with you 100% on that one. Could be we talked stashes last week. I think there's more to come, especially with all this pitching potentially coming down the pipeline here, and you can start. Like even Max Meyer, like what's it going to take for the Marlins to call this kid up? Like, what are we doing here?
Might need welfare check on Max Meyer if he's around.
Like what's making me wonder? It feels like they did this last year with, I can't remember what pitcher it was.
Yuri,
and
which worked well.
Yeah, but it feels like maybe it wasn't Yuri, maybe someone else. A team did this, like, oh, we're going to bring him up, and he turned out to actually be hurt. I feel like those are Barnes of Trevor Rogers.
Oh shit!
They're gonna bring him back. I remember I added him, like stashed him everywhere, and then all of a sudden he's like actually hurt and never coming back. Like, you've got to be kidding me. So I'm getting Max Meyer vibes there, but I hope I'm wrong on that one. Okay. All right, before we just continue to talk all our Fab stuff without actually talking our Fab stuff, let's get cracking on it and let's go over the we'll start with our wonderful schedule grid, Ryan. What stands out to you this week is I'm just gonna say out the gate, I don't see any five gamers this week.
No, so this is the thing that stands out when I was putting this together, just kind of QAing it. No five game weeks. There are like, I think only two or three games on Monday, July 1st. So Monday, your lineups are kind of due in most leagues on Tuesday. So nice. Just plan ahead for that. The reason why there are no Monday games is because there is an entire full slate on Thursday, which is the 4th of July. So I'm not going to complain about a light Monday slate. I probably never do just because Mondays can be tough. But yeah, we get a full slate 4th of July on Thursday. And every team that plays six is off on Monday. So that's kind of the quirk, I guess, with the schedule this week is there's very few. I think there's 6 teams that play 7 games. And so there are 3 Monday games, and then every single day the rest of next week is a full slate, weather permitting, of course.
That's nice. So. Before we get started, since we talked about the Davis Daniel two-namer, Scott Burke says Daniel is the only pitcher to record double-digit strikeouts in a 2023 AFL game. So,
damn,
that's pretty impressive because pitching usually really sucks in the AFL. So that's a good one.
Poll. I don't find that. That's not bad.
Burks, man. Burks just coming through. Love to see it.
Burks is winning my Bubba in the Bloom Listener League, and I think is top 8, something like that overall. So
well done.
Maybe I should be listening to him.
Maybe we'll probably put another update out on those here pretty soon to let the people know what's going on that one. But let's talk the schedule going team by team, all 30 teams for the week 15 again, July 1st, kicking things off on Monday, July 1st. We'll start with the Arizona Diamondbacks, 6 games at the Dodgers, at the Padres, 6 righties on deck. So Cue the music.
Let's go.
Cue the music.
Cue the repetitive. Jam. Yeah. if you had a soundboard or something, we should get an old Jock Jam CD and
if you want me to age myself real quick, I'll throw some do. Yeah, I'll got you.
I do think that was track one on the original Jock Jam.
It probably was. Better have been.
Jock Jams was one of the two batters struck out by Festa today, by the way. Just
interesting. Just
throwing that out there. Obviously Jock Peterson, huge week ahead for him. Jake McCarthy, who I think has kind of become a regular, given the way he did start the most recent game against a lefty for Arizona. So those two, any of those right-handed platoon guys are on Arizona are no-goes. Blaze Alexander has been a no-go for a while. Randall Grichuk has been a no-go for a couple years at this point. So there's that. Arizona, just in general, though, man, like we talked about Jomo.
Yep.
Awful rotation. Like they are in trouble.
Yep.
Jomo, Slade Ciccone, Ryan Nelson, and Brandon Pfaadt. And that's it, dude. That's a tough scene in the starting rotation there.
Yeah, it's tough. And the one thing I will mention, because of McCarthy, you talked about a regular and should play versus right-handed pitching. Alec Thomas has played two rehab games. He's been healthy through two, so he'll be back soon. And you'd imagine they'd still want to get him in there a bit, even if it's a right-handed pitcher. So there's something to keep in mind in that regard. But for the most part, McCarthy should get his, and Jock Jam's 92% rostered in NFBCOCs. People have woken up to the Jock. And so if he's 8%, if you're one of those 8% leagues, the week is now to make that one happen, because to kick it off, you get Bobby Miller on that one. So have some fun with that. The Atlanta Braves, they got six games this week, all at home against the Giants and the Phillies. One lefty and five righties on the docket there. And it's like a tricky slate, because who is Hayden Birdsong after one start? Right. Hicks is striking guys out very well, but not going deep. Webb's just Webb. And you get Nolan Suarez and then probably Mercado. For Philly. So it's an interesting schedule for a struggling Braves team.
It is. Austin Riley starting to turn things around. But yes, who's really turning things around is
Jared Kelenic.
Got the Mike Kurland tweet on Twitter at Mike_Kurland. Since Jared Kelenic has moved to the leadoff spot, which was June 15th, 11 games, four homers, two bags, hitting .362. Obviously, somewhat arbitrary endpoint there, and we have seen Kelenic go on runs like this in the past, but maybe this is just something where he needed to be odd enough the leadoff hitter to feel more comfortable and do it. Jared Kelenic is absolutely producing right now. Don't know his – I had a tab up with 100%, roster rates. But 100%. Is he 100% in 12s?
Yep.
All right, well.
And he's playing versus lefties, right? He's leading off versus both. He's like
leading
he's
off in that spot. Exactly. Yep. Other than that, I'm still not interested in Ramon Laureano or
Forrest
Wall. I have moved on from Duvall. I will admit that is I know you and Jeff were talking about that earlier this morning. I will take the L on Adam Duvall. I just thought I thought given the skills, the Acuna injury with an everyday gig, that we'd see something there, and he did not take advantage. Yep.
It did not happen, unfortunately. Baltimore Orioles, they have six games this week at Seattle and at Oakland. Oh, my God. One lefty and five righties that weekend series with Hollywood, Hogan, Harris, Medina, and Spence. My Lanta, that's going to be glorious. Fireworks post 4th of July on that one, folks. What's your thoughts on this? Because everyone's rostered that should be rostered, except maybe Mateo if you need middle infield.
I did check Heston Kjerstad's roster rates. He is not widely rostered.
Wow.
And Heston Kjerstad, it's
19%. Wow.
19% in 12.
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
It's really low. So Heston Kjerstad is playing, or at least has been playing since he was called up. He has started all three games against right-handed pitching and was benched against a lefty. So it certainly sounds like and looks like Baltimore is willing to play Heston Kjerstad every day against right-handed pitching, unlike the first time that Kjerstad was up and just didn't even play at all. So in a week where it's five righties, I know some of the righties are tough on the front end at Seattle with Castillo, Kirby, and Gilbert. Heston Kjerstad, if he keeps playing and just hit his first homer today, I believe.
Yeah, he got his first taste of the dong bong today.
Got his first taste of the dong bong today. Heston Kjerstad, I think, is well worth I don't want to say significant fab bids, but you might want to pony up there for Esten Kerstad just because I think the playing time is a lot safer this time around, at least against right-handed pitching.
Yep, I'm with you. I'm much more interested here. I'm still not going to break the bank because I just don't trust this situation, but I'm with you. I'm with you. It's definitely much more appealing. I'm already kind of mad I didn't go for it last week instead of this week because it'll cost more.
It will, yes.
All right, Boston Red Sox, another six-gamer this week. They got at Miami and at the Yankees. If just for your guys' reference, if it's a six-game week, it's 3-3. That's not going to repeat that every time. Two lefties, four righties this week, so it kind of splits up our platoon situation. What are you seeing here with Boston that might catch your attention?
Not much, to be honest.
Yeah, it's tough.
I don't know. David Hamilton, there was some concern about David Hamilton not playing every day. Didn't start Tuesday, didn't start Friday, but seems to be playing enough at shortstop, second base to keep that stolen base train going. But other than that, I don't. Willier Abreu has gone back to his strong side platoon role since returning from the IL. You like to see for lefties in Boston the at Yankees part of that schedule, especially against as weird as this is to say, Gerrit Cole right now and a slumping Luis Gil. That even 2 weeks ago that would have sounded like death.
Blasphemy.
It's not. So
and I like Rodon's getting shelled too.
Oh, he got nuked tonight. That was
who took him deep, Ryan? Who took him deep?
Well, Bubba, glad you asked. Not once. Not only did this player take Carlos Rodon deep once, it was a double dong night for my guy George Springer, well ahead of Jake Berger in our rest of season.
Yeah, two to one.
Raider side bet.
Two to one.
Well, that's double the home runs, man. Well,
that's ahead. Double. Yeah, quick with the math there. I do appreciate that. So that's good stuff.
George Springer has had three home runs since I touted him on Tuesday's show.
It's my faller's gift, folks. I'm telling you, at least one of the five guys every week, if not more, will have a heck of a week afterwards. So enjoy. You're welcome. Chicago Cubs, they have six games this week at home against Philadelphia and the Angels. That Angels one's usually always so, so nice. And Philadelphia, honestly, if it's Mercado, like four of the five start or six starts should be good. But two lefties, four righties for the Cubs. Not a whole lot I'm jumping in on here.
No, the Cubs have actually gone to now. They are like a pretty consistent lineup. Like their bench is awful. It's Tomas Nito, David Bode, Miles Mastrobioni, and Patrick Wisdom. Like none of those guys have even played. Nito's played a few games at catcher, but the starting lineup is what it is right now, and they're pretty much widely rostered except for Pete Crow Armstrong, which I know neither of us are all that interested in. Despite the stolen base upside, the hit tool just isn't there yet. And then Michael Bush is playing every day at first base, hitting second most of the time. So if Michael Bush is out there, hasn't been lighting the world on fire lately, but he's a corner infield option in deeper leagues, I think.
Yep, 85% rostered in 12s. The biggest Cub to go for is Wesneski, in my opinion.
Yep.
1% rostered in 12s. We talked about him in depth earlier. We'll talk about him on the two-start week as well because he's got Philadelphia and then the Angels. So that's a fun one to discuss coming up here later in the show. All right, Chicago White Sox. They have six games at Cleveland, at the Miami Marlins, all right-handed pitching for the White Sox. Gavin Sheets is day-to-day with his heel injury. I haven't seen any updates on Thursday, but I'm assuming it's Gavin Sheets, so do with that what you wish. So in the end, not a whole lot going on here in the free agent world when it comes to the White Sox.
Nope, unless you want to wade in Andrew Benintendi waters, which you certainly don't want to do that.
You don't.
Corey Jolks, I mentioned this last week, but Fab Darling Corey Jolks from a couple weeks ago is only playing against lefties, so we'll only get a couple at-bats this coming week. Other than that, I don't see much here, man. It's the White Sox. Eloy is back. Eloy is I don't want to say healthy, but his hamstring scare coming off the IL seems to be behind him for now until the next injury comes. But Eloy is around. So
Eloy is back, and I will say I don't know how many games the White Sox will win the rest of the season, but if Kopech gets traded, Brebbia has actually looked pretty good. He picked up a save recently. So
yeah, good call. Kopech did get the save tonight. I don't know if Brebbia pitched, but yeah, that they've been going back and forth a little bit.
Cincinnati Reds, they have three at the Yankees and three at home versus Detroit this week. Two lefties, four righties. Outside of Noelvi Marte, I don't know what else you're really looking for there.
No. And what's the Marte like playing time upshot? He will be at third every day. So who loses ABs? Probably Espinal. Santiago Espinal. So yeah, Espinal had been the regular third baseman. If you're down about losing Santiago Espinal on your fantasy team, you got bigger problems. So yeah, yep. Noelvi Marte is the guy to go for. It'll be like we said earlier, it'll be fascinating what the fab bidding is depending on what Marte does these next three games.
Yeah, because there's a good chance in most of your C's he wasn't drafted, so he's going to be available for the first time this week. So it's going to be very, very interesting in that regard. Cleveland Guardians, they have six games this week, all at home versus the White Sox and the Giants. One lefty, five righties. It's the Guardians are pretty locked in unless you want to go for the Christmas note.
Yeah, Christmas note. And please, since you polled the Twitter sphere for pronunciation, what do we got? What are we doing here?
Well, a good friend, Mike Waller, too, is a Guardians fan in the area. He said Chauncey Noel. But then I had friend of the show, Jenny Butler, the next morning. So after I did my show, she says it's Chauncey Noel, just like it's spelled, basically. And so did Matt Thompson. So it's Chauncey or Chauncey. I guess we'll go Chauncey Noel on this one. But I heard many fun ones, like it's the Christmas, like note Christmas story. I've heard Password. The Password is a fun one. So there's a lot. Like, this kid's going to be – I hope he sticks because me and – nicknames, I'm a big fan of this guy already.
And so this Noel character is up from in CBS league, since we'll talk about the kind of risers, up from 2 to 16% rostered in CBS, which is the third highest rise of any hitter in CBS. So again, it's that first home run kind of excitement, but the power does seem real. I just don't know about the playing time. Noel did not start Thursday against a righty after, again, making his major league debut on Wednesday and hitting a home run. So not quite sure what to do there. Daniel Schneeman continues to hit. I'm skeptical how long that lasts, but he's hitting second most days, like at least against right-handed pitching, and Cleveland gets five of those. So could be an option for you. I unfortunately cannot recommend my guy Will Brennan this week.
Nope, IL, he just baby. Hit
the IL, so that's unfortunate.
Yep, and I will say with Schneeman, I feel like I'm watching a Seinfeld episode every time I hear that name, Schneeman. He has been hitting, but he's been quieting down of late as well. I'll throw that one out there. Like over the last couple of weeks, it's been a slow decline. Still hitting 280 with two homers and a steal, hitting second pretty much every day. So, or actually about seventh every day. But still, like, yeah, he's a lefty that should play plenty if that's something you're in need of at shortstop this week. So can't knock it if you need it.
The last thing I'll add that we didn't cover just real quick, it is by far the easiest schedule. We've got a bright green on the schedule grid here with a 5% strikeout minus walk rate on average, which is terrible.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So, well, you got Thorpe, who much better in his last start. We'll see how this one goes. I think he pitches this weekend because he got pushed back. He pitches Friday. He got pushed back to pitch Friday. But then for the Giants, bullpen game, I mean, bullpen game, Birdsong. Cleveland's going to score a million runs that weekend.
Yeah.
Good. So I'm going to make plans. I won't be watching the Giants play this weekend. That weekend.
Probably a good move. Do some early Well, no, this will be after 4th of July. So just work. Focus on your recovery.
My daughter's birthday is the 9th. I'll go do something in that regard. I'll plan ahead.
Recommend do that. It's an awesome schedule for the Guardians. So if you have some Guardians that you're on the fence with, or with, you know, just start-sit decisions, just notice that. The schedule is awesome for Cleveland.
Bo Naylor can't hit this week. My God.
Yes. Yep.
Colorado Rockies, our first seven gamer of the week, and it's all in wonderful Coors Field this week. They get the Brewers for four and then the Royals for three, but it's three lefties, it's four righties, and it's the Colorado Rockies.
It is. In terms of fab interest, keep an eye on how often Hunter Goodman plays these next few days. Hunter Goodman, yes, has played at least through, I don't know if the Rockies played on Thursday, but at least through Wednesday's games, has eight games at catcher. So I would think in most leagues, once Hunter Goodman gets that 10th game, he will be catcher eligible, and you get a catcher eligible guy with a lot of power. Hunter Goodman already has 7 home runs and 106 plate appearances. Yes, the batting average sucks, but we're talking about second catchers here. If Hunter Goodman gets that catcher eligibility for this coming week, I think that's an awesome play at home, because I think he's going to play a lot. And again, given in two catcher leagues, that's certainly viable given Hunter Goodman's power.
And I'll say this much, even if he doesn't get it this weekend, he'll probably get it before the end of next week. So your second hitting term, so you'll already have him. And if you don't, yeah, it's going to get nasty. But yeah, I'm with you on the Goodman one. That's a good call on that one for sure. All right, next up, the Detroit Tigers, 6 games this week, all on the road at Minnesota and in Great American Small Park versus the Reds, all versus right-handed pitching. Too bad Riley Green's not available, because he's actually heating up once again. That's been a beautiful thing. But other than that, like, I don't know. There's just not a lot. Like, I gave up on Wensiel Perez. Like, maybe go back to Matt Vierling if you're feeling it. I don't know. It's still pretty rough.
It's still pretty rough. You do, in deep leagues, you want to take advantage of this. So at least Detroit lefties, because it is at Great American Small Park. And really, the Minnesota part, they really miss Minnesota's best pitchers. Yeah. It's Simeon and Woods, Richardson, Festa, and then Bailey Ober, who's, you know, not bad for sure. Looking at, like, maybe Colt Keith, country music star Colt Keith, has 3 home runs, hitting .250 with a stolen base over the last month. So starting to hit a little bit as again, we forget this is a 22-year-old in his first go-around against Major League pitching. So I think kind of going back to what we talked about a little bit on our last episode in terms of, like, rest of season projections and how hard it is to project some of these young guys in their first year, I'm not willing to give up on Colt Keith yet. And Colt Keith is hitting, I believe, 2nd every day against right-handed pitching. So I like Colt Keith as, like, a sneaky middle infield ad this week.
Yep, don't hate that. If you need some MI help, would you rather go Colt Keith or Schneeman?
I'll go Colt Keith. Okay. I'll go Colt Keith for this week. I think Schneeman, I think the miracle run is winding down.
I think you're right. Houston Astros, they are on the road for 7 this week, 4 in Toronto. So they spend the July 4th in, like, how do you schedule, no offense to Canadians, how do you schedule a game in Canada for July 4th? I'm just going to throw it out there.
Isn't it? When's Canada Day?
I don't. It's not on 4th of July. I'll tell you that much.
That's like the day. God, here we are, ignorant Americans. I think it's like the day before or day after. Maybe it's July 1st.
I'll tell you right now.
July 1st. Never mind. It's not on Canada Day.
Yeah,
I don't know why MLB they do play
Monday. Monday is Canada Day, so they get a game there, so that's fine. But then they play 3 at Minnesota. I just had to go down that diatribe. 1 lefty, 6 righties on the week. Joey Loperfido is only 44% rostered in OC, so that would be one of my favorite targets for the week if you get a snag that one.
Yeah, as I pivot from looking up where Canada Day, when Canada Day falls, to going back to the Astros roster, Loperfido, I like it. When we talked about the Loperfido versus Chaz McCormick battle, I'd still like McCormick over Loperfido. That's just me. Loperfido, in his defense, has been playing more often than McCormick, so maybe
versus,
you're right.
Even versus lefties.
So, yeah, I don't know. Nice 7-game week for the Stros. I like both Loperfido and McCormick if they're available this week. And I think longer term, whoever hits better out of that duo is going to play more when Kyle Tucker comes back. Yep.
Someday, hopefully comes back. It's been a rough one there.
Yeah.
Kansas City Royals, they have 6 games this week, 3 at home versus Tampa Bay, 3 on the road in Coors Field. 2 lefties, 4 righties. The lefties fall in Coors if you're trying to split your week in half. Freeland and Gomber, and then your boy Feltner over the weekend. So, yeah, go ahead.
I can't even deny that. Feltner has an ERA over 6, and yet he's my boy. But I'll live with it.
If you can go get your hands on some more Michael Massey, I would. Even though there's lefties, he still plays every day, and he's a beast. But what else are you liking here?
Freddie Fermin in a couple spots might play against those Coors lefties if you need a second catcher. That's pretty much it. I was just gonna, since we're talking about the Royals, this kind of was going around social media a little bit. Admittedly, our guy Michael Garcia, dude, over the last month, 177 plate appearances, no homers, 5 RBI, hitting 151. Six steals, but he has been terrible over the last month, Mikel Garcia.
He's no mascot, I'll tell you that much.
No. The mascot's very stable. Consistent. No peaks, no valleys. It's just a constant peak.
Yeah, really, it's just a constant. He's playing the yodeling game on Price is Right every day. So that's pretty good. Speaking of the mascot, Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, 6 games this week, all on the road, 3 at beautiful Oakland Coliseum, and then 3 at Wrigley Field. So that's a fun way to split your week up there. 2 lefties, 4 righties for the Halos. Anything of interest here when it comes to Anaheim?
No. I mean, Miguel Sano's back off the IL and just hit a home run on Thursday. But you got to be pretty desperate, I think, to start Miguel Sano. I don't know. Maybe the power is still there. Maybe I'm being a little too harsh. But that's the one kind of change from previous weeks for the Angels is Miguel Sano is back and playing third base until Anthony Rendon comes back. Anthony Rendon ran the bases the other day, Bubba. There was an update on him.
Yeah, he's getting close to possibly rehabbing, I was told. So you got that going for you. Definitely got that going for you.
No, Miguel Sano is a deep corner infield. I wouldn't recommend him in 12, certainly, but he is back and hit a home run tonight. So there is that.
All right, the Los Angeles Dodgers, they play 6 games this week, all at home versus Arizona and versus Milwaukee. 3 lefties, 3 righties. Tough to pick up anything weirdly because of the platoons, but I'll keep saying it every week and people can laugh at me. If you need depth at middle infield, Miguel Rojas is playing pretty much every day, folks.
He is against lefties and righties, has started. Actually, the Dodgers have played 3-3 over the last 6 games, and Rojas has started every single game at shortstop. So I certainly won't make fun of you, my man, for that one. It's an empty batting average, but it's batting average in a good lineup. Yes, he's hitting 8th or whatever, but once that turns over to if Rojas gets on base, once that turns over to Ohtani, Will Smith, Freddie Freeman, like, pretty good chance you're going to score a run if you get on base. So I don't mind the Miguel Rojas call. Other than that, I agree. There's not much here. The everyday Dodgers are rostered. The platoon guys aren't rosterable this week because it is the 3 lefty, 3 righty split. So,
yep, I'm with you on that one. Miami Marlins, 6 games this week, all at home versus Boston and the Chicago White Sox. 1 lefty, 5 righties. I'll let you say it.
Yeah, I mean, we need to honor Jesus. I don't know what the roster rate is from Jesus Sanchez.
Up to 28% now. He got a good bump this last week.
Jesus. It's only 28% still?
I think it was like 7% last week, so that's a nice little push.
Man, I guess Sanchez hasn't done much this week. He had a big week the week before.
All you're getting him for is these juicy matchups to try to hit a couple home runs. That's all you're doing here. That's what he can do. It's what he's done in weeks past when he gets going. So that's all you're not looking for a 5 category stud right here.
Agreed. And then we do have your guy, Jake Berger. Honestly, no. Like, I think he can turn it around. It's just I like Springer more. But Jake Berger did hit a home run tonight and is playing every day at third base. We talked about Berger on Tuesday, which initiated our beer bet. But it's a matter of whether Jake Berger is healthy or not. I think we both agreed he has struggled so far this season because he's been injured. Is he still hurt? Will he be hurt in the second half? We don't know, but I think that's worth at least taking a stab at. If you need power in the, like, I would certainly take Jake Berger over Miguel Sano.
Oh, definitely. So, yeah. Berger's 94% rostered. So if you're one of the 6% of leagues, I would make that move pretty quickly. Would you rather Noelvi Marte or Jake Berger?
Marte. Yeah, I think Berger has they both have kind of low floors. We've seen Jake Berger's floor, especially if he's still hurt. But yeah, no, I'd go Marte.
Real quick, an update on the password. Edgardo says John Kinsey is how you pronounce it. And he says, they are all wrong. I'm Venezuelan. I know this as a fact.
Okay, there we go.
Yes, I will let you have the floor on that one, my friend. That is all you. Thank you for your support.
By the way, shout out to the chat. We've gone international tonight. I think early on we had Francesco tuning
my buddy from Italy.
From Italy in the morning. So that's awesome. We've got Venezuela in the house as well. And then Michael C. just pointed out Jake Berger in June has a 16% barrel rate, which would maybe imply that he is starting to get healthy and we're seeing the power come back a little bit in June. So agreed, the power could come.
That was my argument on Tuesday. Oh, Crawford from Canada.
We got Canada now as we debate when Canada Day is and make ourselves look like fools. But
I do that on a daily basis, so it's all good. Milwaukee Brewers, they have 7 games this week, all on the road. 4 in Coors. They got the West Coast trip. 4 in Coors, and then 3 at the Dodgers. The Coors games, you get Gomber, Feltner, Hudson, Quantrill. That doesn't suck. Glasnow on the weekend, but then Paxton, who's been good but not great because the Brewers can hit lefties, and then Bobby Miller. So this is a fun week if you are a Milwaukee Brewer person and you want to add the likes. It's like 2 lefties, 5 righties. Do you go add Jake Bowers this week?
Well, you know, if you follow Bubba's Twitter account, you'd see I was going to bring this one up. You'd see a lineup complaint about Jake Bowers starting against a righty instead of Tyler Black.
Yep.
And then Bowers proceeds. I think it was a grand slam, wasn't it?
Yes, he had a grand slam. You texted me that immediately. I appreciated that.
So we got that.
Black hasn't played all week. It's
ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, in all seriousness, it is disappointing to see Tyler Black not start. Started 3 games in a row last weekend, every game against righties.
What are we doing?
And then has not started this week at all. So I don't know what you do there. I don't think you can realistically pick up Tyler Black or Jake Bowers, really, for that matter. Because you just don't know what the playing time, you might only get 3 games out of each guy this week. So I get the schedule thing. I get the at Coors, like that's awesome, especially given Gomber, my guy Feltner, Hudson and Quantrill.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
But just from like an inventory standpoint, I don't see much on the Brewers.
I'll throw out Sal Frelick. Frelick's been swinging it pretty well of late, 55% rostered. NOCs, and if you go back to like his last 10 games, roughly hitting .371 with 2 stolen bases, 8% K rate.
Okay,
so Frelick would be a guy, at least for the Brewers series, it could be like just a weekly stream if you don't want to hold him. But Frelick, I apologize if I screwed that up, would be a guy I would look to as well. All right, we'll move on to the Minnesota Twins this week, 6 games all at home versus Detroit and Houston. 2 lefties, 4 righties, so our line shift tightened up a bit this week.
Yeah, it's a little tough to go with 4. Even like Max Kepler is, I think, a shaky start even in 15s with the 4-game righty schedule against. Well, it's a pretty easy schedule, especially I don't know if Holton is righty or lefty, but you get Kenta Maeda, Brown, Spencer Arrighetti, though Arrighetti did strike out, 10 in his last start?
10, so. 7 shutout innings, 10 Ks. Beautiful.
No walks, which for him is the big thing.
That's the biggest thing. Because I know we talked about it before, and I just want to reiterate this because I know it's been a point of contention, not on this show per se, but just out there with Arrighetti saying he's not been great. It's the walks, like you said. But, you know, you go back to May 25th, he's made 7 starts, 3 runs or less than 6 out of the 7. He's gotten at least 5 innings in. 4 of those starts. Like, he's been better than the overall numbers suggest.
Agreed. What other Twins? Jose Miranda. I know you're a Miranda guy, hitting quite well lately. So there's that. I, with Carlos Correa, again, it sounds like the Correa injury is minor. But I don't know. I'm a somewhat sucker for Austin Martin. I think I've mentioned him before on the show for speed. He's just not playing enough. But, 2 starts in the last 6, so it's more like a deep league or stash or something. But I think Austin Martin could be good if he played every day. He's just not, so.
Yeah, Stephen Crawford says Buxton's been playing well of late. Not sure he's available. No, he's 100% rostered in the OCs. Might be available like your Yahoos or your CBSs. Go check it out, but not in your OC formats.
Carlos Santana is another one I'll shout out. Just under the radar, producing, nothing sexy there, but plays every day against righties and lefties.
Good corner infield option if needed. All right, New York Mets, red hot New York Mets. Like, don't pitch against the New York Mets right now. 7 games this week, all on the road. They get 4 at the Washington Nationals and then 3 at the Skeens in Pittsburgh. 4 lefties. This is a rare one. 3 righties on the docket. They're destroying left-handed pitching, by the way, so pray for those. And they're all 4 in Washington, by the way. All 4 lefties. So if you're playing bi-weekly leagues, it's 4 lefties early, 3 righties late, and one of those righties is Paul Skeens. So you're going to start your Mets no matter what, but just know that's how the layout of the land looks.
Are you going to start, like, I'm somewhat nervous to start Mackenzie Gore.
Oh, against the Mets. If you have other options, I would not start a pitch. Skeens, I would start as the only locked in starter from this week. And by the way, it's three lefties out the gate. Irvin's a righty. I'm an idiot. Unless that's a different that's right. Irvin. I'm no, not aware.
Yeah, Jake Irvin's righty. Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't start anybody against the Mets except like a Skeens or some sort of an ace. They've been that dominant right now.
Yeah, I feel like Gore is in 15s. I have him in Towers. I'll probably start him and get burned. But yeah, the Mets, so to put some numbers behind what you were just saying, Bubba, the Mets have been the best, not even against lefties, righties, just overall, the best hitting team in baseball over the last month as I peek at my interactive Bloom board. Even better than the second place Baltimore Orioles. So that's interesting. Keeping up on those monthly trends is important because when I think Mets, I think of how bad they were to start the season. They are a much different team.
They were one of the worst teams versus lefties not too long ago. And I'll do the splits real quick since we're here talking about it. So since June 1st versus lefties, the New York Mets, 322 average, 260 ISO, and a 176 WRC plus as a team. That is video games, folks. Video games. Now let's just do right-handed pitching for fun. Oh, and both against righties and lefties, sub 20% K rate. Versus righties, they're hitting 275 with a 210 ISO and a 140 WRC plus since June 1st. They're like they crush lefties, they're crushing everybody. So I stay away till further notice, basically.
Agreed. Any Mets you'd be interested in picking up? Tyrone Taylor has started the last two games in right field, especially with Starling Marte out. Yeah, I like my guy Tyrone. So
yeah, I like that one a lot. Plays pretty much every day. You know, everyone will see the lefties you mentioned on the last show. Better splits career-wise versus righties. He went deep was it Wednesday, Tuesday or Wednesday? He went deep in one of those two games. So, yeah, I like the Tyrone call quite a bit.
I think everyone else is, like Mark Vientos is rostered. You don't want any... You don't want any part of Jeff McNeil. Harrison Bader's questionable. He runs and plays every day in center field. Yeah, I did. I don't think there's much to add in terms of Mets outside of Tyrone Taylor. But
yeah, Tyrone Taylor and then Bader's 20%. So I'd have Taylor over. I'd have Taylor over Bader, but both, especially for this week, and maybe not just this week. As long as the Mets are hot, they're going to get on base and score runs. So you kind of ride that lineup while you can right now.
And the other thing with Taylor is, I mean, you mentioned we brought it up on the news last show, but like Marte is out for at least a month. Like at least Tyrone Taylor should get a pretty decent run here while the Mets are the best lineup in baseball. So, yeah.
100% with you on that one. New York Yankees, one of the better offenses in baseball, obviously. Six games this week, all at home. They get the Cincinnati Reds and the Boston Red Sox. One lefty, five righties. Most of your Yankees are already rostered. Maybe Ben Rice is still floating out there, but anybody of interest for you?
No, Trent Grisham, no Austin Wells, even in two catcher leagues. We're just looking at Ben Rice, I think has hit a barrel in his first week, hitting 261 over his first 27 plate appearances and holding a mid-teen strikeout rate with some walks. So like Ben Rice is holding his own, at least doesn't look completely overmatched in his first week. I think Ben Rice, like the pickups were last week with him. So I don't know how much of that is actionable going forward, but yeah, just wanted to kind of see how he was doing it. One other thing with the Yankees is what's going on with Gleyber Torres? Like he may not, they're saying he's injured. I don't know what's going on there. Gleyber Torres, like that, there's monitor that situation. Because it's a doghouse situation. It's a Gene Segura Award situation where you might have someone you think like you have Gleyber Torres at second base. You know he's struggled lately or struggled all year, but like Gleyber Torres, not to ring alarm bells, but might be in danger of just not playing. And so if you have him at second base or middle infield still, look for plan Bs quickly.
Yeah, it was really telling when he left the game or in the eighth inning three nights ago. Now I'm sat the last 2 days. Tuesday, left the game. Said his groin tightened up on him. Didn't finish out running the ball. So he sat on Wednesday, but Aaron Boone also said not running out the ball played a part in his benching for the day. Yeah. And when Aaron Boone said that, I was like, oh, no.
Publicly.
Like, that was not good. So they want to trade him. So that'll be interesting. If you're in a 10-team or shallower, you can probably drop Gleyber Torres, I'd say that much. It's hard to do in other formats right now. That's the difficulty.
Agreed. I think you hold on. I just think you you do not start Gleyber Torres unless you see him back in the lineup and playing every day again. So
yep, I'm with you. Oakland Athletics, they have six games this week, all at home versus the Angels and the Baltimore Orioles. Two lefties, four righties. Like I'll say pretty much every week, if like a J.J. Bleday is still out there, that's interesting. Your boy Andujar is swinging it really well, like really well. So there's a few options. I'm a Soderstrom guy if he's still available too.
I don't even know if Andujar's my boy. Like he was my boy in like 2021, man. 22.
Hey, you've been happy every time he gets called up. We have a text. You're happy. Your boy's up. And he's hitting really well right now. I gave you kudos.
Yeah, maybe I shouldn't. Yeah, I shouldn't disassociate myself with Andujar.
Yeah, he's playing well.
Sitting 328. 12% K rate. He's making a ton of contact. It's all on the ground. It's a 56% ground ball rate. Just two home runs and 122 plate appearances. So I don't like that. I don't know. It's an easy schedule this week for Oakland as well. 7% strikeout minus walk for the crew that is facing them across the Angels and Orioles rotations. And part of that crew is, Jesus, Ronzi Contreras, Zach Plesac. You've got Daniel in there.
Our boy.
Daniel Davis. Pretty easy schedule for Oakland if you're in deeper leagues.
Not too shabby. Philadelphia Phillies, six games on the road this week at the Cubs, at the Braves, two lefties, four righties. Most of your Phillies are already rostered.
Agreed. I don't think we have much to say on this one, so move on. Yep.
Pittsburgh Pirates, six games this week, all at home, three lefties, three righties from the Cardinals and the Mets. Probably going to pass on this one as well.
Yeah, Rowdy homered this week.
Dude, Rowdy's on fire. I actually talked about him.
On fire. Yeah,
let me tell you something. I was
simmer down.
I talked to him about a hit. He was a hitting highlight on the first pitch pod, I believe, last night. And I was thoroughly impressed from what I saw from Rowdy Tellez since June 1st. Rowdy's hitting .362 with five doubles, two homers, 12 ribbies, and even a stolen base. 20.6% K rate for Rowdy Tellez, 11% barrel, 42% hard hit. He's actually playing quite well. He still doesn't play every day because they platoon a lot, but he's actually played every day since the 21st, and they had an off day on Thursday. So Rowdy is playing way better than I expected.
All right. I'd still like to see visual evidence of the stolen base.
I'm with you. That shocked me.
But no, I did not realize Rowdy was hitting that well lately, and it's an easy schedule for Pittsburgh, even though it is a 3-3 lefty-righty split. I don't know how well Rowdy hits lefties, but if he's at least playing against him,
yeah.
I don't know.
That's my only concern, is because he was platooning pretty heavily for a while, and I said he's played like six straight games. They're all righties. All righties. Yeah. So he still might only play 3-3 next week. Connor Joe might get the – because Connor Joe, he played in only two of the six games, and he played in right field for those games. So Rowdy may still be in a platoon, but if not, he's swinging it pretty darn good and at least has value going forward in weeks we see a lot of right-handed pitching.
Yep.
Keep that in mind. All right. San Diego Padres, six games this week, three at Texas, three at home versus the D-backs. No lefties, six right-handed pitchers facing your San Diego Padres. Not you, just in general, San Diego Padres. But you're not picking up David Peralta. We banged that one to death. Do not do that. So most of the key culprits feel like they're already rostered.
Yeah, I wanted to like see if there's some good lefties on the Padres. And there are, but they are rostered. David Peralta, let's do a quick little check here, man. You know, don't give up on the freight train.
Make it a little check. No, just
kidding. Too early. Yeah, no, it's bad. It's bad. No homers, no steals. Six runs, four RBI, and 63 plate appearances with a whopping Mendoza-level 200 batting average for David Peralta, so I will not be going there this week in Fab.
I'd say see what the Padres do with Bryce Johnson this week, and he got started all three games since he's been called up, all left-handed pitching. He's a switch hitter, so that shouldn't matter. But see if he finds his way in the lineup. We talked about it before. Should be a decent batting average with a ton of speed and an occasional pop. So if he's in the lineup every day, the Padres are that team I joke about all the time. Like the Mets, we know are crushing baseballs. You look at the Padres month-to-month splits, and they seem like such a quiet team, but they all have like 120 to 140 WRC pluses every time. Like they're producing like very well, and they don't strike out a ton at all. So if you're streaming pitching, Padres don't strike out a lot. So Bryce Johnson could at least benefit by getting on, stealing bags, scoring runs, and could have some at least deeper league value in that one.
And that's a good point, because since Bryce Johnson has come up, the Padres have only faced lefties, so we don't really even know yet. We'll get a read this weekend. But Bryce Johnson, yeah, might be the everyday right fielder. We just don't know until they face a couple righties. And, yeah, there's some stolen base ceiling there.
Yep. San Francisco Giants, they have six games this week, all on the road, three at Atlanta, three at the Garden. Good Lord.
Oh, it's brutal, man.
I'm moving on. Two lefties, four righties.
All right, if you want to move on, let's move on.
If you got someone, go for it. Like, Luis Matos, I think, has viability while he's in the lineup, as long as the IL situation plays the same. I do like Luis Matos. I just don't think there's a lot more to get. Lamont Wade's coming back on Friday off the IL, if you want to go that direction. But he'll probably sit versus lefty, so you got at least four starts out of Lamont Wade. So, you know, if you want to get that Cookie Carrasco start on Sunday, knock yourself out.
Okay. I like Matos too, but yeah, that's a tough schedule. Sale, Charlie Morton, Tanner Bibee, who's just freaking awesome. Does get easier on the weekend with Bibee included, but with against Logan Allen and Carrasco. But yeah, man, don't tune in too much this week for your Giants.
Bright side, they'll be early games, not late games, so I don't have to go to bed to them. I will say, though, for the Giants, the following week, it looks like five righties and one lefty, so they could get some Lamont Wade action in that one. So if you want, like, if you have room to speculate, you could probably get, like, Wade for a buck this week if that's something you're into. So think about that. All right, Seattle Mariners, they have six games this week, all at home versus Baltimore and Toronto. Six righties on the docket for the Seattle Mariners, but it feels like they're pretty much locked into what they got going on these days, unless I'm missing something, Mr. Bloomfield.
The big change with the Mariners this past week is Jorge Polanco is back from the IL and is pretty much their starting second baseman, which sucks for Dylan Moore, who, swear, man, like, that guy is really good. He is not an everyday player right now with Jorge Polanco back. So if you're still starting Dylan Moore, I would change that. I benched Dylan Moore in all my 15 teamers, but did not cut him. I just believe in the skills, and Dylan Moore is a versatile player. So as with versatile players, there are multiple paths to playing time. So I'm kind of waiting it out with Dylan Moore, but that is something to at least bring up for you all, is Dylan Moore is no longer an everyday player. Dominic Canzone, this current week was supposed to be Dominic Canzone week.
I've heard that the last 2 weeks now. So is it next week now?
I don't. Yeah, he hit a homer recently.
Last week,
but he will play. He'll play six more. It's just a long stretch of righties for the Mariners. So Dom Canzone will play. He's very popular, probably just because he's Italian.
Yeah,
I don't know.
We'll see. Yeah. I'm with you. Michael in the chat makes a good point I did not mention. He said Conforto has looked better of late. And I said, yeah, he has. He even went deep on Wednesday. But like I said, I just don't want it really any Giants next week. But same with the Wade conversation. If you want to add Conforto now for cheap, I do like him in 2 weeks in that set of matchups they have there. So I'm with you on that. Just Conforto, super streaky and super unhealthy. So keep that in mind as well. All right, we got the St. Louis Cardinals here. Six games this week, all on the road. Three at Pittsburgh, and they avoid the juggernaut in Pittsburgh, so that's big. And then three in the nation's capital, and they get Corbin. They get three lefties to do that. So they have four lefties and two righties this week. Heavy lefty week for the St. Louis Cardinals. What tickles your fancy here?
It'll be interesting for Alec Burleson. Should be widely rostered. Yes. I used to pound the drum for that guy. Had a hell of a week last week. Yep. Traditionally had been a strong side platooner, only playing against righties. That has changed a little bit given how well Alec Burleson has been hitting. So let's see how often Alec Burleson starts against four lefties this coming week for the Cardinals. Just something to keep in mind if you're trying to ride that Burleson hot streak. Other than that, I don't see much here. We did get the good news is we got confirmation that Tommy Edman, in fact, is still alive. The bad news is that he sprained his ankle, and seemingly his return is delayed even further.
The one thing I'll mention, Lars Nupar starting a rehab assignment on Friday, so he should be back next week. Okay. 52% rostered in OCs, so if you want to go stash in some Lars Nupar, don't hate that at all, because when healthy, and that's been a big win this season, Nupar's pretty darn good. Now he's a lefty, so will he play versus righties? He should, but you know, if Burleson's already playing versus righties, I'd imagine Nupar would take Brendan Donovan's spot, or no, I take Michael Cianis. Never mind. So yeah, when Nupar comes back, he should play pretty much every day.
Agreed.
So that'd be one to to go take a look at. Let's go to Tampa Bay Rays on this one. Six games, all on the road at Kansas City, at Texas. One lefty, five righty. And you want to talk about a disappointing offense right now. It's not just the Rosarena. It's pretty much the Tampa Bay Rays in a nutshell. So what do you like in this week? Because Brandon Lowe's healthy for now, or Lau is healthy for now, but the name everyone's talking about right now is Ben Wartford, if you need a catcher.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, yeah, that's true. I'm interested to see what Jose Caballero, like how often he plays. Jose Caballero, I think, has almost 30 stolen bases. This week, Brandon Lau is hurt, by the way. I don't think has played since.
That's why I was surprised he was on this list. Like, he's been out for four games, but he's...
It's a toe. Fractured his right pinky toe.
Yeah, I thought he was on the IL, but Resource does not have that operated yet.
So he's... Brandon Lau is hurt. Shocker there. If Brandon Lau stays out, like what does that competition look like between Jose Caballero and Ahmed Rosario, who I like both of them a lot. Caballero is kind of holding my labor team together in terms of stolen bases and is starting to lose playing time. So I don't like that. Though has started the last three games at shortstop, second, and third base. So maybe he's versatile enough to stay in there, especially if Brandon Lau is still hurt. So keep an eye on Jose Caballero, someone who could be a first half stolen base darling in the second half, starts to lose playing time, unfortunately.
Good point. Texas Rangers, they have six games, all at home versus the Padres and the Rays this week. All right-handed pitching for the Rangers to take on here. Crawford's finally starting to hit, White Langford is starting to hit. But I don't really feel like picking up Leody Taveras or Travis Jankowski, so there's not a lot of interest for me this week.
With the glaring exception of another Bubba Faller, who hours after you had a little fun fact that Nathaniel Lowe had two home runs all season, hit his third home run. And again, Texas does play, like Nathaniel Lowe has been awful this year and losing playing time against lefties, but Texas in an all-righty week, if Nathaniel Lowe has been dropped, I think is a reasonable corner option in a lot of leagues, given the schedule and handedness for Texas.
Yeah, I'm uncanny with these making fun of people type situations, Ryan. So I'm sending you a screenshot from a DM I got from an avid listener, so you can see what I'm about to talk about. But calling my shot, our buddy literally DMs me as he's listening to about the 49-minute mark of our show. Nathaniel Lowe has two home runs this season. On his screen, he gets an update, home run by Nathaniel Lowe, as we're talking about it on the show. It's uncanny.
Can't make this up, man. It's unbelievable.
It's like if you guys need someone to start producing well, I'm going to start charting. It's like people have cameos. I'm going to have a form like, you want me to talk about them on the show or write about them? Let me know. It'll cost you, but I'll take care of business for you. Don't you worry about that one.
Real quick, this is a great point that I did not pick up on. Stephen Crawford in the chat says, Texas has not been good lately. Sammy and Seager both not helping my team. So I just went back to my interactive board here. Texas, over the last month, has been worse than Oakland, worse than the White Sox, worse than the Tigers, worse than the Pirates, worse than the Angels, worse than every team in baseball in terms of last month WOBA, except for the Miami Marlins. I did not realize how bad it's been for Texas over the last month. That's a nice pull there by Steven.
So even your boy Savali might have a good start this week, so that's good.
Yeah, the Cy Young campaign returns. It begins this week, my man.
All I got to say is Roto World on their news blurbs, when they updated Shane Boz's awesome start on Wednesday, in the blurb said, Boz will be up sometime, hopefully when they finally have enough of Aaron Savali. That was in the blurb. I should have sent it to you, but I was thinking of, I didn't want to ruin your evening at like 11 o'clock at night.
That's not funny, man.
Toronto Blue Jays, they have seven games this week. The first four are at home against the Houston Astros. They're celebrating Canada Day and Independence Day against the Astros, as we found out. And then they have three at Seattle this week. Six righties out of the seven games to the Toronto Blue Jays. So maybe a little Horwitz in your life, maybe a little Barger. Are you feeling any of those?
Horwitz, I guess you're riding the hot streak. Had two homers in the same game earlier this week and is hitting second against righties. So Spencer Horwitz, I don't believe in long-term outside of the batting average. I don't think there's a power speed element to his game really, but while he's hot, you could ride that in a right-hand heavy week, though the schedule isn't all that easy either. So
no, it's a tough one.
Yeah. Though Brian Wu is listed, I don't know if he would be back in time from the IL to make that start. So we'll see.
Yeah,
I don't know. Addison Barger like hasn't started the last two games. I mentioned before, there's just a lot of bodies in Toronto with Davis Schneider there as well. I don't know.
Wu will not be back. That's for sure. He will still be on the IL. Last team we have to talk about is the Washington Nationals. They have 7 games this week, all at home. They get the New York Mets for 4, 3 against the Cardinals. 1 is a Lance Lynn day and a hot and humid Washington day, which should be oh so glorious. Oh,
that's going to be steamy, isn't it?
Those road grays, baby. Oh, let's go. 4 lefties, 3 righties for the Washington Nationals. That's Saturday, Washington Nationals, St. Louis Cardinals game might be must-see TV for me.
Yeah, and living and growing up in the Washington area, it is hot and steamy. Hot and sticky. So, yeah, outside of that, dude, no. Like, you could maybe use Eddie Rosario in right-hand heavy weeks, but not when they only get 3 righties. So I'm not really looking at anybody on the Nationals to pick up this week.
Yeah, it's a tough one there. But overall, going through all 30 teams, some fun schedules. I make my list every show. A lot more going on here. Edgardo in the chat says Jacob Young hits lefties well. Yep. If you're like in a daily league, it's just tough with the 4-3 split. You're going to miss half the week potentially to guys unless Young does play every day, which he is playing more often. He is playing every day, so that's fair. If you are in a deeper league, Young would be a deeper league play for me. So good call on that one, Edgardo. Final thoughts on the schedule before we take a peek at the most added list.
No, looking forward to a full slate on the 4th of July. That's Americana, man.
Yep. Be fun. Should be a good one there. So let's switch it over to the CBS most added list. We'll talk hitters. We'll talk pitchers. And we'll talk the hitting side of things, Mr. Bloomfield. And we got 2 twins leading the way. One of them is your boy that you've been on for the get-go.
Yeah, dude, but I didn't know he was the top riser.
That's pretty good.
Carlos Santana.
That's impressive. But the 47%, he won't even be on the list next week. He'll probably be unqualified from this. But the password is 3rd. That's fun. That's a fun one. Kierstead's 5th.
The password being John Kenzie Noel.
Yep, John Kenzie Noel.
So.
Yes. We will just say password from here on out. No, John Kinsey Noel, you're right. But a fun list. We hit on most of these guys, actually, which is good to see. But Patrick Bailey is what we didn't hit on because he's pretty widely rostered. But if you need him a catcher, I do like the Patrick Bailey call.
Certainly, I think certainly more than Ben Rice, to be honest, yes, who their CBS roster rates are 42% and 36% respectively. So roughly about the same. While Hunter Goodman, again, the 4th highest riser from 6% to 19%. Again, if he gets catcher eligibility, I think Goodman and Bailey are close, just probably different types of production, more power from Goodman, more batting average from Bailey. Heston Kjerstad, we talked about, but again, just this is kind of just like a wrap-up summary. Up 12% in CBS from 23% to 35%, and again, playing every day against right-handed pitching in a right-handed heavy week for the Orioles coming up. Other than that, I think we didn't cover Isaiah Kiner-Falefa.
I mentioned him in the past, but
yeah, I mean he was playing every day. I know Bichette coming back is somewhat of a clog, and I mean it's IKF. Like I think we know who he is. He's somewhat hot lately, but a 2% barrel rate that is IKF.
Yeah, still playing every day, but like I'd rather go Miguel Rojas. I'd rather go Colt Keith. I'd rather go Schneeman. I take my chances on a lot of them before I go to the IKF route.
Couple guys rising who we cannot recommend. Will Brennan up from 5% to 13% on the IL, and Dylan Moore rising. I would not pick up Dylan Moore. He's up from 27% to 32%, but again, playing time drying up with Polanco coming back.
The Toglia one's good because they play all week in Coors. Very streaky hitter, but if we go back to like the 12th of June. So basically 2 weeks worth of action, pretty much. Toglia is hitting .235, but 4 home runs, 10 runs scored, 9 RBIs, 38% K rate. So if you're looking for a power source for 1 week in Coors, you could do worse. Let's put it that way. So there's a reason he's at least getting added right now. That's what I'm trying to get at.
I was going to bring this up in the Carlos stash Correa guy. Segment.
Yep.
And now this is maybe just a stash, but my semi-viral tweet of Carlos Correa made it over to Twins Twitter, who as a collective whole was very excited for Brooks Lee. And again, it doesn't sound like the Carlos Correa injury is serious, but we all know Carlos Correa's injury passed. It's something will come up again. Brooks Lee is a riser up from 16 to 20% in CBS. Some very good prospect pedigree. Probably would be, if Correa is out, would be called up. I think he's hitting, Brooks Lee is hitting 338 with six home runs in AAA and just 76 plate appearances with a 13% strikeout rate and a ton of hard contact. So Brooks Lee is raking right now. And if opportunity presented itself at shortstop in Minnesota, could get the call at some point. So just wanted to throw that name out there for stashers.
No, I like that one quite a bit as well. Other than that, like, a lot of this is streaming stuff. You got your Siri, Brett Wisely, Schneeman. Zach Neto's up to 44% finally.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think this thing's broken. I do double check Zach Neto every week. This is actually correct.
Yeah, it's correct. Like I said, I do my Yahoo percentages for my Fantasy Pros article, and every week I'm just like, I can only do three hitters, three starting pitchers, and there's like a million I would do below with the requirement I'm targeting. So that's good. Jesus Sanchez, 9%. You laughed at 28% in OCs, so... Yeah, widely available 100%. For streaming purposes. And yeah, the rest of it checks out. It's an interesting list, but we covered most of them.
Yep. Cole Keith on the list. Again, I mentioned him earlier, but a righty heavy week for the Tigers. So Cole Keith with a good strikeout rate, some power, a little bit of running game. I will re-echo a middle infield ad for this week. And again, you never know when it starts to click for someone who is a pretty damn good prospect coming up.
Yep. Totally agree with you there. Let's switch to the pitching side of things, if you're ready for that. Chapman leads the way with Bednar going to the IL, but Festa's up there as a big riser, as you would expect. Kyle Hendricks, people are buying into two starts versus the Giants. But there's Landon Knack, who's getting another start against the Giants this weekend. Looks to be sticking in the rotation for now, with Kershaw getting kind of pushed back again, and not to mention Buehler on the IL. Bobby Miller looks bad. Landon Knack actually looks like one of the better pitchers they have, so... Knack gets the Giants this weekend. Technically, he's scheduled for Arizona next week. We'll see what the following week shows, but I could see Landon Knack getting some nice streaming appeal.
I do. I'm a little concerned that folks will see the 2.10 ERA in 25 innings and see Dodgers and bid a little bit more than Landon Knack is worth. But I agree. I would certainly put some modest amounts on Landon Knack now that the spot in the rotation looks somewhat safe for now.
Yeah, and then I want to highlight David Peterson. He got a bump as he finally started striking guys out in his last start, which was good to see. Next week, we'll talk about this in a minute, but at Washington and at Pittsburgh.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Let's go. So, yeah, we'll get to that in a minute, but we've been talking like Peterson fan over here. I know Ryan doesn't not like him. He's a little bit of a fan as well, but the strikeouts are very disappointing to start out, but 6 Ks and 8 Ks in his last two with 3 earned runs. Only 10 in the third innings worked, but limiting the damage. He did have 5 walks his last start, which is a bummer. But you taking the Yankees 4 1/3, 1 earned, 5 walks, 8 Ks. Like, I'll weirdly take that, even though the whip got blown up.
Yep. And again, plenty of run support likely for
yes,
for David Peterson. We talked about Hayden Birdsong. I don't know why Logan Allen's a riser. Griffin Canning's a riser because he had an attractive two-step this past week, but I think you want to get off that train before it completely derails with an 8% strikeout minus walk rate for Griffin Canning. And I picked up Andrew Heaney was being dropped. I picked up Andrew Heaney in a 15-teamer. Skills aren't that bad this year. 12% swinging strike, a better than average ball rate, and 16% K minus walk. So
gets Tampa Bay next week, so it doesn't suck.
I mean, Texas isn't giving much run support lately, as we talked about earlier, but going from 19 to 23% in CBS leagues, I think Andrew Heaney is, you know, if you need a back end guy who may not kill you, I think Andrew Heaney is an option.
And then Michael Wacha's there. He's always boring, but good. He has a tough start this weekend, but next week it's Tampa Bay, which is nice, and then at St. Louis the following week. Like, he finds ways just to keep it going, which is funny. And then Robbie Ray, if you can stash, Ray's a guy I'd be looking at. We talked about it earlier. There's Ray, there's Cobb, there's Boz. I think Christian Scott's a guy you could look at, and a few others. Like, there's guys that have already been up or that will be coming back up very soon, it feels like, that you can start speculating on as well.
And a lot of these stashes, like, we're coming up on the All-Star break. So coming up this Fab period, there are 2 full weeks, and then the All-Star break, which I haven't looked, but the last few years has been full Monday through Thursday, 4 days off. And All-Star break is kind of, I know it's kind of a lazy return time, but a lot of these guys may be coming back shortly after the All-Star break. And so even though that may look like July 18th, it's my wedding anniversary, July 19th, nice. It's good to have it during the All-Star break, I guess.
I guess we won't be recording a Fab show that night, folks. Just throwing it out there.
Oh, damn. That is a Thursday, isn't it? Shit. Yeah we'll good. Have to make some plans there, I think.
Yep. I'm not going to help you get in my shoes on that one.
Yeah. I don't even know where I was at now. Oh, like July 19th sounds like far away on the calendar. And for like a Robbie Ray, that might be like when we start to see him come up in the majors. But really, it's only 2 weeks of MLB schedule. So it's only 2 weeks of holding some of these guys and stashing them. This was kind of my point. The stash doesn't seem isn't as long as you may think.
100%. 100% with you on that one. The rest of the guys here, like Garrett's been struggling. A lot of relief pitching stashes here. Stanek, the Seattle thing is interesting. Stanek's still pitching really well. He's pitching a lot of eighth inning. Like, he's getting almost the high leverage spots right now, weirdly. On Wednesday, he pitched a solid eighth. Munoz started the ninth, walked the first two batters, got taken out of the game for Thornton. Like, that would have been Stanek's spot if he still hadn't been used yet. So I still think Stanek's the number two, but there's a lot of weird stuff going on in Seattle right now.
Next guy on the list. Agreed. Absolutely. Jonathan Cannon, man.
Yes.
Who, like, what a two-step. What a two-step. Yes. Near complete game shutout in his first start, and then gave up, I think, 5 earned.
Shot out of the cannon.
Yeah. Yeah. You were standing in front of the cannon on that second one. But Jonathan Cannon this week goes to Miami. So gets the Marlins. Decent matchup. Let's see what – I'm guessing Cannon starts sometime this weekend, so we'll get one more read on how he looks. But if Cannon looks good this weekend, I would absolutely go back there at Miami next week.
100% with you on that one. All right. I think it's two-step time, my friend. You ready to talk to we already got a couple of fun ones we've hinted at, so let's get in on this one.
Yep.
All right. We'll start with the Arizona Diamondbacks. I need to know your nickname here because I always forget it. What's your Ryan Nelson nickname?
It's not my nickname. So the Arizona Diamondbacks social media team, and I just laughed it out.
He's an Oregon Duck, so I figured you liked him so much.
He's an Oregon Duck, and he did not come up with his nickname, so it's no shade at Ryan Nelson, who almost has an awesome first name. The social media team called him Nelly Nasty.
Nelly Nasty. Can it be Nasty Nelly? It's Nelly Nasty?
Like, no, it's not Nasty Nelly. It's Nelly Nasty. And Nelly Nasty has a two-step at the Dodgers, at the Padres, and a 5.69 ERA. So you don't want to be going with
pretty nasty
Nelly Nasty this week.
Yep. That's a big no, dog. You're starting Ronaldo Lopez. That's a good one. Cutter Crawford at Miami at the Yankees. Even with the Yankees, you're starting him. Yep.
Yeah.
A Hayden Wesneski, Philadelphia, and then the Angels. That Philly start is terrifying, but the Angels start look pretty good.
The Philly start is terrifying, and I should have a game log up. I don't know if Wesneski would even be able to go 5, unless I'm missing something.
He hasn't been – he's been a long reliever, so he hasn't gone deep in a while. I'd imagine he could sneak 5 in, but I can't guarantee it. The other thing, and this is just pure, like, just throwing things in the air – they're in Wrigley. It should be warm. Wind might be blowing out. That's scary.
Yeah, maybe check the wind for your final tiebreaker. Wesneski did throw 72 pitches at your Giants, went 4 innings, 7 Ks, 1 walk last time. Maybe he goes 5, but even in a 15-teamer, I'm very nervous about that first start. The next one against the Angels is great. So just depends on your options. In 15s, I wouldn't touch Wesneski right now. In 12s, maybe I'd hold him, pick him up and hold him for cheap. But that's
yeah, I would. I would love that Angels start. You got maybe the Cardinals next week. So keep that in mind. If you need strikeouts, I would throw them. If you're already like, my ratios are blown up anyways, it is what it is. It's still early to kind of say that, but the way pitching's been this year, maybe not that early. Then I'd be interested because Wesneski can rack up Ks, especially against the Angels. So, yeah.
Yep.
It's probably a no, but there's an angle to it, too. Cincinnati, Graham Ashcraft at the Yankees versus Detroit. No.
No, I'm not. That at Yankees is death.
Well, I'm hoping this comes true because I've been stashing Gavin Williams. He gets the White Sox and the Giants. That's he's supposed to throw in his last rehab start this week. I'll believe it when I see it. But I usually don't start guys off the IL, but for those two starts, I think I will, my friend.
Yeah, those two starts, if they happen, are awesome. That the Giants team is one of the wider lefty-righty splits out there as a team. They are not good against righties. They're great against lefties, but Gavin Williams is a righty. So both of those starts are awesome for Gavin Williams if he makes those two starts against the White Sox and Giants. So I would say yes.
You're going to get Gomber and or Feltner, one of the two, if not both, at home versus Milwaukee and at home versus Kansas City. No.
No, I spit out my water.
Okay. No. Eric Fede at Cleveland, at Miami.
God, he's got a 3.23 ERA.
He's Trevor Williamsing this thing.
Yeah, he is.
I think you got to.
Yeah, I guess.
At least in 15s you do. 12s, if you have better options, take them. But 15s, I think this is a start. Fetty's getting the job done.
He only threw. Yeah, no, I guess you're right. You hold your breath and go with it.
Yep. You're starting Scooble. That's not a conversation. Hunter Brown, you're starting Spencer Arrighetti at Toronto, at Minnesota.
I think you have to, given the way Arrighetti looked his last start. Yeah.
I'm with you. Brady Singer, you're starting versus Tampa Bay. Versus Tampa Bay at Colorado, you're still starting Singer, right?
Yes. I mean, the at Colorado is
It's good.
It's a bad team. So,
yep. Ronzi Contreras at Oakland, at the Cubs.
Oh, it's a good matchup, too.
Yes, it is.
No, like Ronzi Contreras, I think only pitched like two or three innings.
He's not stretched out at all.
So, no, you're not going to get a win and you're opening yourself to up to some considerable ratio risk with,
Volante Belazo of the Marlins versus Boston versus the White Sox. He made his debut, 5 shutout innings, a couple strikeouts, like 6 total whiffs. He was getting blown up in the minors this year. How you feel about this one?
I don't feel great. No.
No, I won't start him. I will mention Rodery Munoz has the White Sox this week, if anybody's curious. Just gonna throw that one out there.
That's doable.
For a single start. Bryce Wilson and Dallas Keuchel at Colorado, at the Dodgers. Oh.
I mean, hey, if who was the dude last year who came back from the dead and was good?
Back from
Julio the dead. Teheran.
Oh, Teheran,
Julio Teheran. If Julio Teheran can succeed, Dallas Keuchel can succeed. But no, I am not starting Dallas Keuchel at Coors and at
the Dodgers.
What
about Bryce Wilson?
No, I'm not. I can't do that.
No, I can't either. Semien Woods-Richardson versus Detroit versus Houston.
Yeah, I probably would. The length has been a little bit of an issue with SWR, but I'd probably roll with it. One of the issues is the Detroit start is against Scooble, who hasn't pitched as well lately, but might be tough to get a dub.
Dubs will be Richardson there. That Houston starts terrifying. 15s, yes. 12s, I would try to have a better offense options, but he's more in that middle pack where you might not have better options, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
New York Mets, David Peterson at Washington, at Pittsburgh. Check, please.
Yep. Let's go.
Let's go. Luis Eel, you're starting. Mitch Spence of the A's versus the Angels versus Baltimore.
Just for the versus Baltimore. Like,
yeah.
Mitch Spence will die against the Orioles.
So, if you have daily leagues, and you want to start him against the Angels, go for it.
Yeah. Actually, Mitch Spence, like from a skill standpoint, isn't he's sneaky good. Agreed. If you can get the Angels start without the Orioles, but the Orioles just they devour everything in their path right now. So
I won't go talking about their splits, but writing up I can't remember who they faced today or Friday. It's a good matchup or a good pitcher, and I'm like, you don't want to pitch him today. Philadelphia Mercado at the Cubs, at the Braves. No.
Jared
Jones of the Pittsburgh Pirates gets St. Louis and the New York Mets.
It's funny how like a shred of doubt now enters my mind when I see Jared Jones, given how bad he's pitched lately.
Especially with the Mets.
And with the Mets, but I still do it. Yeah.
You gotta do it. You gotta do it. San Diego, Yu Darvish looks like he'll be back at Texas versus Arizona.
Yeah, absolutely. The at Texas typically scares the hell out of you, but as we talked about earlier, they've been terrible over the last month.
You're starting Luis Castillo. Jordan Hicks at Atlanta at Cleveland.
What do you think?
I say you still do it. It's just like I've said it too many times lately. Strikeouts have been up. Innings have been down. So the wins are going to be very difficult to find. Probably still whip a couple runs. The ratios will be suspect, but a lot of strikeouts. So,
yeah, and the Giants, both of those starts for the Giants offenses are against righties, so may not get much run support again. Yeah. I'd still probably do it, but I'm not that thrilled about Jordan Hicks.
And I will be very transparent. He was almost a drop for me last week in an OC because I needed someone to drop. He's getting very close to being a drop on my teams. St. Louis Cardinals, Kyle Gibson at Pittsburgh at Washington. Oh, my God, that's awesome.
It is. Yep. I'd go Kyle Gibson.
Zach Lidle, you will start. Nate Eovaldi, you will start. Yariel Rodriguez versus Houston at Seattle. I'm not starting him.
I don't think so. I don't have his game log. He's not the win potential is so low. He does not pitch deep enough in the games.
What about Jose Barrios?
Yeah. Yeah. Do it.
And then the one we were all talking about, Mackenzie Gore versus the Mets versus St. Louis.
It gets easier against St. Louis, but that Mets, that's the thing against. So when we were talking Gore earlier, I didn't know it was a two-step. I'm starting him in tout in a two-step. Like, I'll be honest with myself.
Yeah. Yeah. But you'll start him in the two-step and just pray to God he doesn't get destroyed the first start.
Yeah. See, yeah.
You know it'll happen. It'll be the typical. He'll dominate the Mets and get destroyed by the Guardians.
Yeah. He'll pull a cannon.
Yeah, it'll be the opposite of what we were hoping for. Or St. Louis will blow them up.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Yep. And then I'll just say this quickly. If you're looking for two steps to target on the waiver wire for next week, DJ Hurst has St. Louis and Milwaukee, but he's been suspect. Ryan Pepiot should be rostered. Miles Mikolas got destroyed on Thursday, but he's got at Washington versus the Cubs and then Palante as well. If these are just ifs. I'm not saying go do it, but they're ifs. Other than that, I'm just Joey Estes we talked about, but no. Christian Scott's got a two-step next week at Pittsburgh versus Colorado. That's outstanding. If you're in that type of a situation that Christian Scott's sitting out there, Jose Soriano's got versus Texas versus Seattle. That can be a sneaky one that's widely available. But other than that,
is this the following week?
Yeah, I'm just saying if you want to.
Okay. What are you talking about? We just went.
I was saying if you want to stash someone down for cheap before
I got you. Okay.
Two steps next week. Those are a couple guys you could probably take a peek at.
All right, I was like, I thought we just finished all the two steps.
Yeah, we did. Drink a sip of your 87 ounces of water. I'll get it back to you. all right, that wraps us up, Bloomfield. We went through it. Two steps. Most added rosters, week 15 fab. Any final thoughts? Well, I guess I'll do the one listener question, even though he doesn't need a question answered anymore because he already paid the ad drop. What would you do? Would you drop Yusei Kikuchi for Christian Scott?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Would like to know more context. In a shallower league, I'd take the upside of Scott. In a deeper league, I'd go Kikuchi because I still think he's decent, though hasn't pitched much better lately. So
yeah, I'd still go Kikuchi. I'm with you, but we'll see. And then Elliot Ramos or Noelvi Marte in an OBP league, I'd go Elliot Ramos.
Yeah, I would too.
He walks like a madman, so that's where I'd be there. But those are the questions we had. It was a small question night, which is totally fine on our fab evenings. But final thoughts as we wrap up week 15.
No, pretty exciting. Exciting week of fab coming up. I think a lot of different options on both sides. Really no closer changes unless something happens over the weekend. But as usual, I think we covered things well, and there are a lot of decisions to be made this weekend. It'll be a fun weekend of fab.
It'll be a fun weekend of fab. And just so you all know, we both have a couple crazy weeks coming ahead in our personal lives. You'll still be getting two shows a week, just times might be a little off.
Yeah, we just don't know which days yet. That's right. Yeah. I know I'm going to the beach leading up to the 4th of July. So we'll figure stuff out. And but
just so you know, you get shows that might, yeah, they might not all be live. They might be on different days, but you will get 2 episodes a week. You'll get a Bloom board. You'll get your fab. Just might be a little wonky. Just throwing it out there now in case anybody's curious.
Don't get too shaky. We'll feed the addiction. Don't worry, guys.
Yep, don't you worry, because we need it too. But on that note, we'll wrap things up. Make sure y'all check out Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod. I'm at BD Intric. Until next time, this is Bubba and the Bloom, episode 147. Catch y'all later.